Gutierrez. Amen. Brother Gutierrez is home sick tonight. Was at the doctor this afternoon, upper respiratory infection, very sick. So we are going to ask God to touch these. Several out sick tonight. I know Brother Pat had to work late. Brother O, you had your hand up. Sister O is sick as well. Amen. Any others that are homesick? Sister Sandy is. She's out sick tonight. I see a couple of prayer requests up here. John England. This is Sister Severe. This is your... this is John, the one we... Where is Sister Severe? There she is. John is the young man that we met, correct? He's wanting to move closer to Nashville, to Lebanon area, to be at church. There's a job opportunity that will help this, help speed along the process. So we want God to move on his behalf. Pray God. Last night, Sister Snyder, she wanted to be here. She has to work. Tonight, the next couple of services, she has to work. And asked us to pray, and her back was bothering her last night. She asked us to please take time to pray. So there are several, maybe some that I'm even missing. But let's just ask God to touch these, if he would. God of heaven, we come before you. Before we go into our teaching tonight and before we close our service, we ask you to answer these prayer requests. Those that are sick in their bodies, move on their behalf. Touch these tonight. Brother Gutierrez touching. Move in his body. Brother Jones, touch him. Sister Jones, touch those very sick in their bodies. They need you. Touch Sister Snyder tonight. Touch her. Touch her back. Move in that situation there. Touch Maddox tonight. Move in his life. Touch his body. Sister Orianas, God, would you heal her and touch her? Answer these prayer requests. God, move on the behalf of John England. God, work it out with his job situation, the opportunity. God, let him find this job. Let him be able to move to Lebanon, be able to come to church. God, would you work on his behalf? Move in that situation. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There are a lot out tonight. I'm going to try to it's Wednesday night. A lot of times Bible studies, we wanted to have our classes tonight, so that kind of on a Wednesday night it kind of changes it a little bit, especially when we have our classes. So Wednesday nights are a lot of times set up for more of a Bible class. But in studying, I felt it kind of like closer to preaching, and I've tried to keep it over a little bit, and I thought, well, I'll save it, and I will use this on Sunday. But I really felt, and I thought, okay, God, and I got to thinking about who that, you know, God, is this for so-and-so? Is this for so-and-so? And you was kind of identifying situations with the word and the burden that I was feeling, the direction that I was going. And I thought, well, God, this one may not be here, and that one might not be here, and this one. And I just felt impressed to kind of go this direction. So I thought, okay, God, you know the hearts of the people even better than I, and you know who the word is talking to. So I am going to just try to take my time and stay within the boundaries of 9 o'clock, which gives me an hour and 5 minutes. I'm just going to try to teach for a little bit. That's all right. I'll just take my time and work my way through it. Amen. But being that I haven't had the opportunity to preach in a while, I don't know, Sister Donnie, we may come out of the gate running, but I'm going to try to... Okay, smile. It's real easy, smile. Watch this. Watch me. I can do it. You can do it. Come on, girls. Amen. Turn and look at somebody. Smile at them. Tell them if you're happy and you know it, say amen. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. Amen. The honeymooners don't count. Y'all can smile in a hailstorm right now. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Ever played a game of tug-of-war? Ever fought in a tug-of-war? We remember our tug-of-war at our ladies' retreat. God, it was a ladies' retreat, wasn't it? Why don't just write where we are? Write where we are. Let's just ask God to anoint the Word tonight. God of heaven, before we go any further, we ask you to anoint the preaching, the teaching of the Word. God, I believe you're speaking to somebody tonight. I believe you're talking to a heart, maybe more than one, to whatever individuals you are talking to, God. I ask you to prepare their hearts. Speak to them through the preaching of the Word. Anoint the message, anoint the messenger, anoint the lips of clay. God, let the Word be alive. Would you help us tonight for your glory, for your honor, Lord? In the name of Jesus, a vessel of honor, would you pour yourself out through the preaching of the Word? Talk to us tonight, God. I feel your anointing. We feel your presence in this place. Speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Help us to receive the Word. Amen. Tug of war is a battle. It's back and forth. A lot of fun. You have your anchor man, and then that's the big boy. You got your anchor man. You sit big boy in the back. Somebody like Brother Rowe, something like that. See, y'all thought I was going to say somebody else, but I wasn't going to say Brother Wayne. I wasn't going to say it at all. Y'all just thought I was. And so, sit you an anchor man back there, and then you got your front man, your lead man, boy, and you just, he's the guy that hollers, all right, pull. Everybody pull. That is, unless it's your shop was on your team, and then she says it for you. Is she in here or not? I can't even aggravate her. Okay, I'm not going to aggravate her. She's not in here to enjoy it. But we used to play volleyball at school, man. Every time we rotate, all right, rotate. All right. And tug of war would be no different. So, tug of war, man, you had to learn to pull together. And it was so funny when we did our fall festival. All of us big old boys, and it's the God's honest truth, we thought we were going to put a whooping on them girls. There was no way on this earth that they was going to whip the likes of me, Matt Harvey, and Wayne Loki, and Mark Kenny, and Jacob Johnson, and Tony Gutierrez. Man, all us big old bruisers, man. Boy, we got up there and just, boy, we rocked our feet down solid and we started pulling. And we pulled this way, but it was amazing. Gravity was so strong that night. It had to be the moon. And gravity, the earth was tilting, I know, no doubt. We were sliding downhill. And boy, they pulled us right across that line, much to our shock and their joy. They didn't just pull us, they snatched us. They slaughtered us, snatched us right out of our shoes. Son, don't make it worse by making excuses. Please, son, don't make it worse. It just makes us sound desperate, that's all. Just admit defeat like a man, son. It's all right. I would say they were bigger than us, but they wasn't many of them bigger than some of us. How big was they? I'm just saying. So, point is this, man, when they got together and they pulled together, they absolutely annihilated us. And I began to read this afternoon about a struggle. And I briefly mentioned it here the other day in studying, and I actually was reading it, and I just made a statement about a clash, and I've seen it. Jordan has this game, Clash of Clans, or something about the Clash of the Clans, or something. It came up across on the little iPad thing, and it was one of them advertisement deals from the iTunes or App Store, and it said Clash of Clans. And something about these clans, and you had to build a city or build a clan, a village, or something of that nature. And he asked me, could he buy it? I didn't know what it was. I said, no. You know, I didn't have any idea what it was. It just didn't look too awful healthy, too awful good. But anymore, none of them look good. You know, we remember Pac-Man and Frogger. Gallagher was really getting out there. Gallagher or whatever it was. Gallagher was a Western, wasn't it? That was Lewis L'Amour, Gallagher, something. Remember Galactica, or was that it? Galactica, whatever, but it was them things you hit them little. That's all we had was little. Man, we was really doing big when this Pac-Man came out. We was back in the day of the Ataris. So, I seen that, and it made me think of the scripture. Talked about warring in our members, and I looked up and really in Romans, and I really got to studying in the book of Romans, chapter 7 and chapter 8. But in the book of Romans, chapter 7, you don't even have to get up. Just we'll just take our time, just teach a little bit. And the book of Romans, chapter 7, I'm going to read, I guess, starting at about verse 17. Let's go with verse 17. The point I want to bring out, and I'll probably just work my way from there, but I want to start Romans chapter 7, verse 17. You don't have to put them up there then. If they can turn around, I'll read it for you. Romans 7 and 17 says this, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." You ever been there? Ever felt like that? Ever done something like, why did I just do that? Or why did I just say that? Or why did I act like that and get away around the corner and think, man, I must have looked silly doing that. "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of the mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Used to be a story that they told in Sunday school about the white dog, which represented the good, the black dog, which represented the bad, or the good versus evil. And they always taught the story in Sunday school, and many of you can remember this very same story. Mom Johnson used to tell it over and over and over again. I grew up listening to Mom tell the story about these two dogs. And the dog that you fed the most was the one that won. He was the one that was strong. It's very simple. It's elementary. If you fed the good, if you fed what was right, if you fed then that's the side that was the strongest. That's the side that won. That's the side if you walk in the Spirit and you walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, if you prayed, if you done what you were supposed to do, and you continually did what was right, then the dog that represented good was the one that was victorious. But if you were carnal, and if you walked in the flesh, and if you just did your own thing, and if you did not do what you were supposed to do, the Bible says, he that knoweth to doeth good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And so if you were to feed the dog that represented evil, then the evil dog or the bad dog won. Always a battle going on. Always a struggle, a clash of two kingdoms, if you will. Always inside of us a war rages. Today, tonight, this afternoon, it was a tug of war going on. It was the pull of the world. Remember, the Scripture says ye are in the world, but not of the world. And so the world continually has a pull on you through the temptations of the world. Remember, with every temptation, he will give you a way of escape. He'll never put more on you than you can bear, the Scripture says. But there is always a war going on in your members, always trying to pull you out. And at the same time, the church and the preaching and the word and prayer is always pulling you, always inward. In the book of Genesis chapter 25, we find the story of Jacob and Esau. Book of Genesis chapter 25, verses 25 and 26, very simply say this. Starting at verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Tell you what, jump back up to verse, go with Genesis 25 and 19. I'll just give you a little backstory real quick. Genesis 25 and 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. The children struggled all the way back then inside of her. There was a struggle going on. All the way back. Don't think your kids, even though they're young, it don't have a pull on them. There's always a struggle all the way back when those were in the womb. There was a struggle taking place. The Lord said, in verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bear them. All the way back when they were in the womb, there was a struggle going on. But old Jacob, when Esau beat him out, there was something inside old Jacob. He just got a hold of that thing. He said, you are not leaving me behind. You're not going first. You're not getting ahead of me. No, sir, you're not. And the struggle all the way back, something was inside of them. It was a struggle way back yonder when. Even when he didn't even really know what was going on, something inside of him was dry. I remember back when I was a young man, I got mixed up in some things, but somehow, some way, I don't know how, I don't know why. I look at some of you and see some of the stuff that we've gone through together over the years, and yet you're still here. I'm still here. And as a young man, I had to walk away from a situation, and I had to say, I cannot do this to God. I cannot do this to my parents. And I cannot sin against God, if you would. I cannot go this route. Something in me, it was down, I don't even know how or why, but just something would not let me. I did not really have that good of a walk with God. Really didn't have much of a walk with God that on the outward appearance. Obviously, I had something down inside. Obviously. And so sometimes when you are seemingly at your lowest point, and seemingly you're thinking, I really don't have that much of a walk with God. There's a lot of teaching went into you. There's a lot of prayer went into you. And you've prayed a lot of prayers. And your parents have prayed a lot of prayers over you. And your pastor and pastor's wife, mom and bishop over the years, prayed a lot of prayers over you. I don't know how. I just knew enough that if I left and went that way, I would be lost. And I knew that hell was real. And as a teenager, I just somehow, there was a struggle taking place. There was a struggle going on. I remember having to give it was a situation I had to give the keys back, if you would. I gave keys back. I gave everything back and said, hey, I'm out. I'm clocking out of this one, checking out of this one, if you would. And, you know, and I had no intentions of even going into that. And I do remember at one point, I got a little bit, put it this way, it kept on, and I did everything I could to get away from it, and it chased me down. I did everything I could, and it followed me to work. I did everything I could, and seemingly I could not get away from it. I did not pursue it. It pursued me. And I did my best to separate myself. I was not going down this road. It wasn't my message, and I feel it very strongly. And so I'm telling you this, and I talk with God, because some of the ones that I thought, God, this is more, I can do this on a Sunday, and I'll change it, and it will be more fitting. But I really feel pressed to say this here. I did everything I could to get away from it, and yet it still dogged me. That struggle still kept on and on. And when it got too big for me, when it got too much for me, God laid me on somebody's heart and woke them up in the night, and they began to pray and have a burden for me, and they prayed. The very next day, I went to the job, and sure enough, here it come. And harassing and trying to, it was a female. And I'm being very, very honest right now. Very, very transparent, very honest. But it followed me to the job, and I did everything I could. But when I finally agreed, okay, last time, this is it, last time, God said, okay, now it's my turn. God said, it's my turn. And I met this individual for lunch. And when I did, thinking no one knew, God knew. Thinking no one was aware, God was aware. I told you the other day, God kind of showed me some things, allowed me to be privy to some things No one knew at all. No one knew at all. And I made it late in the afternoon, about 3 in the afternoon, and I agreed to meet this individual at a restaurant all the way out towards the beaches, way, so there was no way, shape, or form of anyone even coming by. And I met this individual there in all sincerity to say, bye, this is it, it's over. But yet, it still persisted. And it was a struggle going on that now seemingly was almost bigger than I could on my own. And I feel I'm giving someone a warning is really what I feel I'm doing. I sat there in that restaurant across from this individual, and when I did, I told them, this is it, there's no more. And they tried to give me, and I'd give everything back. No, 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 no. I had done everything I could, and really, I wanted to start, and I'm added this on at the very end. I'm preaching about tonight, God is more than enough. God is more. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I'll get into Romans 8 here in a minute, which is where I'm taking this from. But about that time, two sisters walked in. There was no way that they should be anywhere near the beaches, but in walked two sisters. And God knew my heart. God knew the sincerity. God knew, at that time, He knew the terror. Because I realized that God had took matters into His own hands. And when I did, I told this person, I said, get up. They don't see us. You walk straight out that door. They did not. They got up, went straight to them to talk to them as if everything was okay. And I was sick to my stomach, but I knew that God had intervened on my behalf. I will tell you, it's because of that I'm here today. My mom went on a 10-day fast for me. My mom fell down in the floor. You remember, some of you were there. You remember the night she fell down in the floor and she began to scream, God, don't take my son. God, don't kill my son. God, don't take my son. I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. That afternoon, I did not know what to do. But God said, I got it from here. And in, God intervened and walked in. And from there, well, I'm here today. But I'm just telling you, I felt to say that, and I'm just warning some of you. One of you, more than one of you. The scripture says, beware, your sins will find you out. You be careful, and it's time you made up your mind that this is what you're going to do. There is a clash of kingdom. There is a struggle inside of you. You are the deciding factor. There is a tug of war going on. Whether there's things taking place in your homes, whether it be single, whether it be married couple, where you're going places you ought not to go and you know better. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Amen. If you know we teach against it, if you know you're not supposed to be there, then don't go there. Amen. I'm just giving you warning number one. I'm just helping you out a little bit because here directly now, we'll go to step two. But I'm telling you in the meantime, some of you need to make up your mind. You feel punch drunk almost. You feel battered almost. But if you'll hang in there. Rocky Marciano, he had an odd gait about him. He had a shuffling gait. He had almost a clumsy swing. But Rocky Marciano, they never thought he could whip Jersey Joe Walcott, I believe was his name. Jersey Joe. And Jersey Joe was a precision fighter. And Jersey Joe, man, could just, with accuracy and with deadly speed, he would come in. He was the first real trash talker. He was the first real, he was the first real knockout artist, man. He would just come in there and just, with precision, man, just da 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 da. And they never thought that Rocky Marciano would make it. And the first round, when they got there in the ring, the first round, Marciano got his head banged in, man. And he got boxed around. He got punched around. He got knocked down round two, round three, round four, round 10, round 11, round 12. He had lost every round on every card. Rocky Marciano had been beat every single round of the entire fight. He was 0-12 for rounds. But Brother Rogers, he just kept getting up. He just kept getting up and stumbling to the center of the ring, stumbling back to the house of God, if you would, and he just kept holding on long enough in the hopes that he would make it. They started round number 13, and when they did, about 30 seconds into the round, Rocky Marciano come in with an uppercut, and he hit Jersey Joe and knocked him out colder than a wedge. He had lost 12 rounds in a row, but he just kept getting up. He just kept holding on. He just kept fighting. I look at some of you now, and you're stronger now as a Christian than you were months ago, than you were a year ago. I look at you, and some of you know how to stand on your own two feet, and you know how to pray your way through a battle, and we've worked our way through some high spots, some low spots, some hurt places, and we're still in the fight, we're still in the ring, we're still round after round after round. We may have lost a few to begin with, but honey, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Says he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. Round number 13, Rocky Marciano made one last punch. Literally one last punch on his way down when he did. Bam, he hit him. Both of them fell. Rocky Marciano was able to get back up one last time. And holding on to the ropes and holding on to the referee, they held his hand up in the air as Jersey Joe was out cold. How'd he do it? He just kept holding on. No matter how low he was in the cards, if you would. And some of you feel like, because I've talked to you recently, you feel like you've lost a few rounds, you've lost. You're not where you should be or where you could be or where you feel like you ought to be. The thing is, and I know it's a cliche, I know we've said it over and over again, it's not how many times you get knocked down, but it's how many times you get up. But you know what? It's true. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's just how many times you can get back up in a prayer room, get back up on a Wednesday night, get back up from a young person to the oldest one in the room. It's just if you can just hang on long enough. Amen. That's why you have a coach in the corner and a manager over in the corner and a man that just, he's over there encouraging. That's what the preaching of the word does. It encourages that if you hold on long enough, you can make it. If you can endure to the end, you can make it. If you won't throw in the towel, you can make it. But there is a battle raging. There is a fight that is going on. Amen. The scripture says in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I wrote down the title of some songs, and I started reading some songs, the words to some songs, looking them up. And one of our favorite songs is, no matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. And Brother Pat loves that song. He plays that song all the time. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. You've always heard, I read the back of the book and we win. That's so true. Amen. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. I looked up the scripture. I know I looked up the scripture. Trust me, I looked up the scripture. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's here. It's either in this one or the other one. Amen. I have... Here, Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54, real quick, somebody read it for me. Isaiah 54:17 says what? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. No weapon formed against me, no matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. Somebody read me a quote this week, and they seen it on a license tag, and it said, pain is temporary, but quitting is forever. And I thought, how true that is. Pain is temporary, but quitting is forever. So many times we get in a tough spot, we get in a tight spot, we get to where it hurts a little bit. We get to where it's uncomfortable a little bit. And we forget that scripture that says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Pain is temporary, but quitting is forever. We want to somehow just say, no mas, no more. I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel, if you will. Amen. The song said, down on the bottom, all hope is gone. Down on the bottom, I can't go on. Enemies surrounding me, laughing at my calamity, telling me that there's no way to reach out to the light of day, but what? I'll be up again. Just you wait and see. Rough times won't keep me down. They'll just send me to my knees, and there while I'm in prayer, I said, there while I'm in prayer. How's it go? God will send the victory song, and I'll be up again where I belong. Amen. Down on the bottom where the enemy wants to keep you. That's where he wants you convinced that right here is where you belong. And you'll never be anywhere else but right here. Right, this is it for you. Keep on swinging, Rocky. Stay in there to the third. That's the unlucky number, 13. Yeah, just stay in there. Because it's unlucky for the devil who it's unlucky for. Just stay in there long enough. Because in the end, you are going to win. Amen. Defeat is a word I never use. When I started in this race, I didn't start out to lose. I've set my eyes on the heavenly crown, and I'm going to make it. Going to make it somehow. I have no intentions of giving up now. I have no intentions of turning around. Amen. Another song says, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You've got what it takes to win. Oh, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. How's that last line go? As long as you and Jesus stay friends. As long as you stay close with Him. As long as you'll listen to the coach in the corner. As long as you'll get up off that stool. As long as you'll take you a drink of water. As long as you'll Take that rest break over there in the corner and listen to the encouraging words of the coach in the corner. And then you just get up again and go back out and face, I can't do this. I don't know if I can last. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You've got what it takes to win. Amen. One of my favorites says this, victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. Victory, victory shall be mine. Deliverance, deliverance shall be mine. Healing, healing shall be mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, victory, victory shall be mine. Amen. Here's another one before we go on. There is power in the name of Jesus. That's one of our favorites right there. Power in the name of Jesus. So break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and are safe. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, we find in Romans 8 and 31, I begin reading in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, the Bible says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, for you to say you can't make it, you're making whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're going through at the moment, you're saying that God and that's the same size. That there's the off chance that it can be bigger than the Lord. There's the off chance that it is going to be victorious. The only way it can be victorious if you give in to it. If you say, because as long as you'll stay on your face, young person, as long as you'll stay plugged in, I don't care what it is you're going through. I don't care what it is you're coming up against. I don't care how hard they're after you, so to speak, because it is a constant battle. The enemy is after you. Trust me. The enemy is after your soul. The Bible says that the devil goes around walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. I was very transparent in the beginning. But can I tell you, the enemy was after my soul. God could see all the way down the road, but the devil knew that God had plans. The devil knew that God had special plans. We always say, you know, that the devil had a plot, but God had a plan. Amen. Don't think that you can hide from the enemy. Amen. Because the first time you start praying, the first time you start talking to God, the first time you go on a liquid fast or a media fast, or you start examining yourself, all of a sudden where you were hidden, you become like a radar, a blip on his radar. And he sends those pings out after you, if you will. He's trying to identify your whereabouts, identify your hideout. You're over here hiding behind the word and hiding over here. And you're okay as long as you don't do anything in the spirit, so to speak, to bring attention to yourself. But the moment you start trying to get a walk with God, the moment you start trying to do what you're supposed to do, all of a sudden you feel like, oh my God, this is bigger than me. And so all of a sudden you start calling out to the Lord. You get on His radar. But if you look in Romans chapter 8 again, we're staying in Romans chapter 8. We remember now, verse 31 said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Drop back down to verse 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Wow. Big S on spirit. Not my spirit, not your spirit, but God's spirit. We're talking about a capital S there. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If God be for you, who can be against you? I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how big he seems to be. The Spirit is making intercession. The Lord's praying for you. The Lord's over here with moanings and groanings. He's in here. And the Spirit maketh intercession for you. Romans chapter 8 says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Go down, back down to verse 35. I'm going to read verse 35 through 39. I want to kind of, before I leave this section of where I'm at, I want to try to kind of segue into another area. But before we do, Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read 35 through 39. I may read a couple of scriptures twice and overlapping them, but Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Remember, I told you about there's a struggle going on inside of you, a tug of war, if you will. It's kind of like those scales that you put prayer on, you put prayer on, you put the word on, you put Wednesday night, you put Monday night, you put washing and communion, you put all the, and it starts, but when you get back to reality and life and you start getting it stacked in disfavor, all of a sudden the things of the world outweigh. Why? Because, well, you were the deciding factor. It's all out there. But when we put our decision, when we make our choice, when we start calling on the name of the Lord and He starts coming down on the scene and opening the windows and doors of heaven and pouring out a blessing upon us, it starts to weigh it this way. But if you're not praying like you should, if you're not listening to the preaching, or if you're not doing your workbooks like you're supposed to do, and you have no personal devotion and no prayer time, and you have no, especially if you're on the platform, if you have no family devotion, if you're a lay minister, no walk with God, no time that you as a dad dedicate and set aside for you and your family, and tonight we're going to do some devotion. Tonight we're going to read the scripture. Tonight we're going to study in the book of Romans chapter 8. And tonight, and you take not what you have to do on Wednesday night, but I'm talking about you and your walk with God in the early morning hours when you get up. This morning again, first thing this morning, 5 o'clock, wide awake again. Immediately I got my scriptures, I got the Bible, I listened to a message. By 6 o'clock, I'd already listened to another preaching message. I try, because I know the days get busy, and I know afternoons, and then if you wait till evenings, if it's anything like my place, if you try to wait till an evening and say you're going to cram in a few minutes with the Lord, the Lord's in a hard battle there, trying to find the time, because by the time you do get to bed, you're so wore out, or you're so tired, or you're so rushed, or you're so hurried, it's easy to say, I'll just get it tomorrow. I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll catch it up tomorrow. And we fall further and further behind, and the scales get further and further and further tipped. Why? Because we're gross sin? No, just because we're just carnality. Just life, just the world, just flesh. Bible says carnality is enmity with God. It is the enemy of God. And yet, when we have no prayer life and no daily devotion, no walk with God, and it's nothing but Sundays and Wednesdays, that's it. And half the time you don't come on Monday night prayer, there's always an excuse anymore. Monday night prayer, some of you never make Monday night prayers. And it tips further and further this way. And some of you are here faithfully. You're always here. And it's up to us to throw in the deciding factor, because there's always a clash of the clans, if you will, a clash of those two kingdoms inside of you. It's always good versus evil. But in Romans chapter 8, we find in verse 35, the Bible says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, He's making intercession for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Amen, amen. It's good to know that the Spirit maketh intercession. He's making up the difference, if you would, for us. When it's tit for tat, so to speak, when it's balanced out there, God's making up the difference, if you will. God's making intercession for us. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? And all of a sudden, when we've done everything we can, God starts tipping it in our favor. Because when we've done all that we know to do, God steps on the scene. Like I told you about in the very beginning, I had done everything inside of my power, and yet I was basically at a standstill. I was at a stall, and all of a sudden God said, "I got it from here. I'll help you out from here." See, that's where you and I as parents, we need to be sensitive to where our kids are at, what our kids are doing, what our kids are listening to. I was a grown man, basically, but I still lived in my parents' home. I was, 19 years old. But yet, my mom and dad, they were aware of what was going on. They were aware of the situations. Moms, dads, you need to be aware of where your children are at all times. I don't care if they are 19, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 25. If they still live at home, it's your responsibility to at least be aware of where they are and what's going on. They live under my roof. I'm going to know where they're at. I'm grown, yeah. Well, that's for a different lesson. But as long as you're in your dad's home, young people, it's safety for you. It's divine order for you. I know you get tired of your mom and daddy's checking on you. I know you get tired of them doing the GPS, but son, it's safety for you. That might be the one thing that runs interference for you that you're not even aware of. It might be the prayers of a mama. Because that's what it was for me. Prayers of a mama. They undergird and protected with prayers. And I would come in and I would say, "Mama, you still fasting?" "Ooh, Mama, you still fasting?" "Yeah, she was so sick. Face was so pale." I said, "Mama, you still fasting?" And I told my dad, I said, "I've done everything I can to do. I'm not doing anything else. I don't know what else to do." He said, "Just keep on doing it. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do." I didn't know there was a 13th round coming. Rocky Marciano knew he had lost all 12 rounds. But when it got to the 13th round, he just still hung in there long enough that he made contact with the enemy. I don't know how, when, or where, but I'm telling you, young person, if you will hold on long enough, the battle that you're in, the enemy that you've seemed to face forever, if you'll just stay in the fight long enough, it might be the 10th round, the 11th round, the 12th round. You may have to go the whole 15 rounds, but somewhere in there, if you'll just hang in there long enough, you'll just keep fighting long enough, God will give you the desires of your heart. He'll answer your prayer. Victory will be yours. You will be victorious. How? I don't care if it's 0-12 and the enemy's won all 12 rounds and seemingly we've never got, but all of a sudden for you, things will start opening up and God will start blessing you. How does it happen? God rewards faithfulness. God honors your commitment. I pray all the time, God bless their loyalty, bless their faithfulness, bless their giving, bless their the love, bless the support of the church. God, would you bless their faithfulness and commitment? It didn't happen for me really until I was 44. This last part where I stepped into where I knew that this was the will of God. Because I will be honest, up even through the last 10 years, I still wondered, God, am I in the will of God? Am I just spinning my wheels? Am I wasting my time? Could I be somewhere else? Could I be much further? Trust me, I knew how to wait. I knew how to wait, but I knew if I just held on long enough. And you see, I was smart enough to know that if I ever left, I'd be outside of the will of God. If I ever got away from it, I would be outside of the will of God. So I had to submit myself. I had to submit myself to my dad's authority. I had to work for my dad, with my dad, under my dad. He was my employer, my employee, my boss, my landlord, my pastor, my father-in-law to my wife, grandfather to my children, and I couldn't get away from him because on about 12 different levels and layers, I had to submit myself. I'm still under submission. That's still my pastor. Amen. You never get to the place where you're unaccountable and one day when you get married, you'll still have a husband over you who will have a pastor over you who has God over him. That's called divine order. As long as we stay inside of divine order and we stay in the fight long enough, I promise you, keep your hands up, keep your guard up, keep your prayers going forward. Just keep striking out through the Word. I don't care if you feel like it on a Wednesday night or not, but come to the house of God. Worship with everything in you. It might be that Wednesday night. It just might be that that's the blow that strikes the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Amen. You may be seated. I need to go very quickly. Remember this. Falling is an accident. Getting up is intentional. Falling is an accident, but getting up is intentional. In the book of Jude, you'll find in verse 24, I believe it is, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Really don't know why I felt impressed to preach this or teach this evening. Because you might be asking yourself, I've already fallen. See, if this doesn't apply to you, then you don't feel this fits you, then you just help me pray that the Word would fall on receptive ears and every saint that is in need would receive the Word. If you feel that it doesn't apply to you, then you just help God have His way in the remainder part of this service. So I'm trying to get done by 9, like I said, but I'm going to have to, and I don't want to skip this next part. Verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless." How can you be faultless if you've already fallen in the past? The Bible says, "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling." One place the Bible says, "delivered you from death and is yet delivering you." That can't happen, Pastor. I've already fallen. I've already failed before. I've got a mark against me. If you were to look around this room, so does every other man in this place. So does every woman in this place. We've fallen multiple times. I felt at times I needed shin guards because I spent most of my time on my knees, most of my time falling. Brother Bundy, I spent most of my time stumbling around, it seemed like, spiritually, trying to gain my footing, trying to regain my balance. You ever seen a person that has fell and they're stumbling forward and they're losing their balance, and the more they fall, the faster they go, and the faster they go, the more clumsy they get? And that's kind of what I felt like before. Spiritually, I just felt like, oh, God. And then you'd get in on Wednesday night and you had to repent before you ever got to do anything. And by that time, Mom Johnson would motion you over and want you to pray for somebody, and you knew you had to repent before you ever got. I ain't touching nobody until I repent. I'd be over there like, yes, as I walk towards him, being obedient, submissive. I'd be like, God, forgive me right now. Lord. Oh, God, forgive me right now. You've all done it, and every one of you have been there. Every last one of you, when you went to pray, especially if you got near Mom Johnson, and you made sure because you didn't want nothing to jump, but you didn't want them catching nothing. Now, you didn't want them to pick up on nothing. If you didn't, you were crazy. I know, because some of you won't get near me when we're down here and it's hot and it's anointed and fire, and you'll stay you dizzy. I'll be like, pray. I got you back here. Just raise your hands this way. Because you know when it's flowing, that they'd have a chance. They'd have a chance. Pastor's going to turn around and grab a hold of you. And you'd be like, I'm good back here. I'm going to do it sign language wise. Look like a Catholic doing all this stuff. How does he deliver you and keep you from falling if you're not where you're supposed to be? Because if we were honest, none of us are. I'm just none of us are, myself included. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm trying every day. I'm working hard at it. I got up this morning. God talked to my mind today. The reason I was is because I knew I wasn't where I was supposed to be, and I was trying to find the mind of God, and I wanted the will of God for the service. And God, what applies to tonight, and what is relative to tonight, and what is applicable to the people, God? What is effective to the people, God? Talk to me. God, I got to help Alexis. Lord, would you talk to me? Okay, I didn't say that word. I didn't call her name, but I was thinking about Joanna, though. I'm like, God, help Joanna. We need it. You better thank God for a pastor that loves you enough to talk to God. You better thank God for a pastor's wife that loves you enough. The other night we were so tired. We were so strung out. There was so much going on. And the sister they're in now, they're trying to make it. They're coming, and it's Wednesday nights. It's hard for them. And over 2 hours, Sister Johnson was telling me, and she was tired, and phone rang. She was like, oh, Lord, I'm so tired. I hope everything's okay. And it was for her. And she talked to that dear sister for over 2 hours. Better thank God for a pastor's wife that loves you like Sister Johnson loves you. And yes, she's a Yankee. And yes, it shows on her face like a mirror. She is totally see-through. You can see every emotion. But can I tell you of a surety, she loves you with everything in her. She prays for you. She talks. She is very sensitive where you're concerned. And she will go to bat for you and defend you in a heartbeat. I can say something, and she sounds like my mother sometimes. Well, you know now, you got to look at it this way. And I was dealing with a situation, and I was concerned about a situation, and it was an adult, and they needed to work, and they needed this, and they needed that, and they needed to straighten up and get going and go on. And as a pastor, just kind of frustrated at one point, aggravated at another, and concerned at another. I'm like, you know, my God, where's the motivation? Where in the world is the drive that would be in a man that would cause you to get up and go? And Sister Johnson said, you might want to think about this happened this year, and this happened this year, and this happened. And in the last 2 years, this and this and this and this, and that's a lot of loss. And I felt God, man, this kind of got me. This kind of pricked my heart. And I thought, oh, God. Okay, God. And I told her, I said, thank you for giving me that other angle. Because I was ready, man. I was ready to let the hair go with the hide, because I was it aggravated me, and she said, you might want to think about this and what's happened in the last 2 years. And I thought, you know what, God, she's right. That's where the Spirit maketh intercession for you. Because I was ready to say, okay, God, deal with it. Okay, God, handle it. But I didn't have to because God kind of stepped on the scene. So what do you say if you've already fallen? Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Someone read it for me when he gets it. When I fall, I shall arise. Rocky, you could have stayed down any of those first 12 rounds, but he just kept getting up. He just kept getting up. He just kept getting up. He knew he had lost 12 rounds, but he just kept getting up. Micah 7 and 8 says, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The old song says, I'm no match for the devil. On my own, I fail every time. But greater is he that is in me. So I say, Satan, get thee behind. You better look out, Satan, look out. You better look. I'm not staying down, devil, I'm getting up. I've fallen, but I'm getting up. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. You better look out, Satan, look out. You better look out, Satan, look out. Cause I come to you in the name of the Lord. So look out, Satan, look out. 1 John 4 and 4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to keep us exceedingly and abundantly above all, exceedingly and abundantly. Let me turn to it real quick so I can give you the whole thing. Ephesians 3 and 20. Ephesians 3 and 20 says this, now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Remember me telling you, there's a battle that's raging on the inside. There's a war that's going on the inside. It's up to the power that worketh in you and I. What kind of power are you talking about, Pastor? Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. There's a power that worketh in you and I. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, exceeding and abundantly above all that we even ask or think. Above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in that tug of war match that's going on inside of us. I take you back to Romans chapter 8 that says, ye are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. I'm trying to go very quickly now. It is 8:59, and so I want to close with this one little thing. Not only is he able to pick you up if you do fall, he also can keep you from falling. Okay, very quickly. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to try to close 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. I'll give you the verse. You don't have to turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. The Bible talks about David. Oh, Goliath had been hurling insults and adding insult to injury and rubbing salt in the wound, if you would. 40 days he'd been up here hollering and carrying on all this time. David decided, enough was enough. Is there not a cause? And David come running off of that hillside. The Bible said he stopped. And he reached down and he picked up 5 stones. 5 smooth stones. We wrote down, and I've got it in here, and I know that I'll never get to it. I'll never get to it. But David, when he went through that brook, when he went through that water, he reached down and picked up 5 stones. He didn't need 5. He did not need 5. He needed just 1. And that is really a lot of our problems. We come on a Wednesday night and we get just enough to make it to Sunday. And we get to Wednesday and we get just enough to make it to the next service. And we get just enough to get us through from Sunday to Monday. And from Monday, we got to work down to a science, to an art. And when we could stay prayed up, when we could put enough to tip it all the way in God's favor, we get just enough a walk with God. When we could go all the way, when we could with prayer and fasting, these things come but by prayer and fasting, we could tip it all the way, son, in God's favor. To where we get, instead of just 1 stone, we would pick up 5 stones. And you may think, and we've said it before, well, it was for faith. F-A-I-T-H. Or grace. G-R-A-C-E. Or Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Or it was for Goliath and his 4 brothers. I find that one kind of difficult because if you look at it, he said, who is this? He didn't even know the guy, let alone know he had 4 brothers. So, okay, rule that one out. Because he did not know Goliath had 4 brothers. He didn't even know Goliath. He knew who it was. So he certainly didn't know he had 4 brothers. You know what I kind of think it was? On a Wednesday night, he come in, and he was worshiping with everything in him. He was plugged in to the preaching with everything in him, and he could have just picked up 1 stone, which was all he needed for Goliath. But he said, I'm going to come out of here with a pocket full of stones. I'm going to get as much as my pockets will hold. I'm not getting rocks so I can throw them at somebody either. I'm not getting rocks so I can sling rocks at another sister or another brother or saint or sling rocks at somebody when they make me mad. But I'm getting a pocket full of more than enough. Whatever battle that might face us, whatever revival God has for us, I'm getting my pockets full of blessings, my pockets full of anointing, my pockets full of whatever it is that God has for me. Just remain standing, if you would, as we close this evening. Whatever it is, God has more than enough for you. You can come tonight and just get 1 little touch. You can come tonight and just get 1 little taste, 1 little sip. Like Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. Amen. I could go on through the preaching, go on, and I'm not for sake of time. Amen. But through the prayer service, through the preaching of the Word, through the worship in church, there's more than just 1 thing in the water. Everything you need. If it's strength, God has a stone for you. If it's a miracle, if it's healing in your body, God has a stone for you. You don't have to just pick up 1. You don't have to stop at 5. But everything you need, God has it more than enough. God has more than enough. Why don't you just come to the front tonight as we close? Amen. He has enough to sustain you in the days to come. He has enough to give you victory in the battles that are ahead. Amen. He's more than enough. You look, and when he defeated Goliath, he went on to the house of God. He went and asked, he said, do you have any bread? And he said, I've got hallowed bread. I thought of the scriptures that said that I am the bread of life. Amen. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the bread, that heavenly manna, if you would. Thank God for the Word that He gives us, that sustains us, that keeps us. He said, do you have a weapon? Do you have anything? He said, well, we've got a sword over here, the sword of Goliath. He said, I'll take it. But when he got to the sword, and we all know that the sword represents the Word, the sword of the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword in his hand. He got the word, if you would. But if you look and study, it was wrapped in that cloth, and it was behind that linen ephod. And it was behind what it represents, worship. When we come to the house of God, amen, there is an order. And God, if you're not hungry, you're never going to eat. And if you don't have a need, God's not going to meet it. If you don't have an appetite, we're fed according to our appetite. It's when we come in saying, I need the taste of that bread again, Lord. And I need to take a drink of water again, Lord. Do you have? And God said, I've got more than enough. I've got everything you need. Not only do I have all you need, I've got more than enough for you. And it's through that worship that all of a sudden we get to the word that God gives us. I begin to look at it, and the man of God, he put that sword in David's hand. And what I'm trying to do this evening is arm you with the sword through the word, that you know that God has more than enough. Through the arming, through the preaching of the word, the man of God put the sword in David's hand. I'm trying to help some of you from the very beginning. Amen. You will get what you need through the worship. You can get what you need through the word. You can get what you need through the man of God. Amen. But you cannot be carnal. And you cannot give in to that struggle. Remember that struggle that I told you about. You can't, Brother Roe, we can't tip this way and expect God to fight our battle for us. Brother Mark, there's things that you need on your job and in your business. And I remember, man, when it was devotion and when it was prayer and when it was Bible study and when it was the evening, and all of a sudden we had more than enough. But when we find ourselves lacking, we'll find out that we've tipped the scales the other way. We've tipped the scales over here in the favor of the world, so to speak. You cannot be carnal. The Bible says carnality is enmity with God. Amen. You read the scripture. David, he said, I. He personalized it. Amen. Not just enough, but more than enough. Amen. Why don't we just lift our hands today and ask God of heaven to reach down and give us everything we need to make it not only to the next service, but God, give us what we need to win the battle. Give us what we need, God. You have more than enough. Arm us through the preaching of the word. Arm us in our worship. Arm us through the word. Seal the word in us, God. Anoint the word that we have heard in our classes, in our teachers, God, in our adult class, God. Put the word, hide the word down.